last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We know how difficult it is to get a new house or apartment to buy, but it's not much better when it comes to second-hand properties. In fact, it might be an awful lot more difficult. There's a number of new property reports out in the last day or so. Marion Finnegan, Chief Executive of Sherry Fitzgerald, you also have a report out about how much it costs the average first-time buyer couple. What sort of joint income do they need to be able to buy the average new home?
Thanks, Matt. I suppose we've looked at affordability across the regions in the entire country, but you're looking at affordability challenges in most locations. So average median wages come in somewhere between 39 and 49,000 in the different regions. But the requirement would be significantly greater than that for to purchase a home. So you're looking at salaries typically in the order of somewhere around 95,000, a couple's salary to purchase a new home in most regions. Now, it does vary by region. You've got anything from 73,000 in the border regions to 106,000 in Dublin, but that's sort of mid-range in different locations around the country. So there's no doubt that there's definitely affordability challenges, but this is not new or it shouldn't be unexpected, I think.
Is there value available for these people in trying to buy second-hand properties?
Well, unfortunately, because of the challenges around construction activity over the last really 8 or 9 years, we haven't built enough properties. So the available stock of accommodation in the second-hand market is really tightened. So if you go back to the summer of, let's say, 2019, there would have been about 23,000 homes available for sale. Now, if you went back 10 years before that, it would have been double that amount. That's fallen down to about 14,000 in the summer of this year. So 0.7% of the second-hand housing stock. And when you've got a strong economy, robust demand, and really, really tight stock in the second-hand market, that's fueled house price inflation. So affordability is equally challenging in that marketplace.
Because a lot of couples, maybe starting out, might have decided that they wanted to take on a property and maybe refurbish it, build it to the way they want it to be. But if there's only 14,000 available, and if there are people looking to trade up and trade down as well, that seems like an absolutely tiny amount of choice available to people. And is it getting worse? Is it becoming almost a self-fulfilling cycle?
It has become incredibly challenging over the last 5 years. Now, if you compare the summer of this year to last year, there's about a little bit less than 2,000 more units available for sale this summer. The challenge is I'm looking to buy a house. I don't see anything that I want to buy. Therefore, I don't put my house on the market. And it's that self-fulfilling challenge that every time somebody makes that decision, it creates a bigger problem for everybody else. And until we see a very significant increase, as in a doubling of the output of new construction activity, it's unlikely to change. And bear in mind as well that while we talk about we need to build 55 or 60,000 houses, we need to bear in mind that we built 30,000 last year, but only 10,000 of them came for sale in the private market. So you're really talking about a fraction of what we built actually comes to the market for sale to replenish that stock. Now, it's definitely worse in rural Ireland than in the urban centres. While we haven't been building enough, we've built more in Dublin and the Midlands and indeed in the other regional centres. But if you get into rural Ireland, you see stock down over 50% in like Carlow, Offaly and Cavan than where it was in 2019. And that's where you're really seeing the pinch. Very, very low supply and no construction activity of any magnitude occurring.
Louise makes a very valid point. Why is it always couples and joint incomes we talk about? What about single people? Do we not buy houses or apartments? And it is a very fair point. It's something we have touched upon, Marion, on this programme in recent weeks. But for people who are single, who may be separated, that the cost, the affordability becomes much more difficult for them rather than people in couples.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's become increasingly pronounced. I mean, when I was first analysing this market back in the 1990s, we talked about single purchasers and couples. But as the market inflated over the last 20, 30 years, we increasingly look at affordability from a couple's perspective. It's not to suggest that single people are not buying, but in the main, because of the challenges around affordability, it really has become a couple's market, which is neither desirable nor acceptable, but it is a fact.
I want to bring in Jude Sherry, founder and director of Anish, who's been with us on the programme a number of times in the past, talking about properties that could be brought back into use. Because Jude, it does strike me that there must be an awful lot of vacant or derelict properties, which with a little bit of work could be perfectly habitable for many people who don't necessarily want to or can't afford to buy a new home.
Absolutely, Matt. I think if we had the vacancy home tax and a derelict property tax working properly, we'd have pressure on owners of long-term vacant and derelict properties, pressure on them to sell up. And that would, if we could get enough of those onto the market, this would bring down the price of these properties. And it is cheaper to renovate an existing home than it is to build new. So these should be options we should be looking for. What we'd also like to see on top of that would be things like DIY training to help people reduce the cost again by, you know, doing simple jobs themselves in the house to really make it affordable for everybody.
Are there houses all over the country that could be renovated in that way?
Yeah, so if you have a look at how many, like the data around vacancy and dereliction, according to ESB, we've got 72,000 homes empty for a year and 65,000 homes empty for 2 years. And just to compare that to somewhere like Amsterdam or the Netherlands, sorry, the Netherlands came out with data this week around how many vacant homes are in the Netherlands. And they've got four times the amount of homes than us in general, because they have a much larger population as well. But when you look at the amount of vacant homes they've got, they've only got 64,000 vacant homes for a year. Rather than we've got, with a population four times less than them, we've got the same amount of vacant homes for 2 years. So you can see the scale difference between us and other countries in Europe, which have effective management of their housing stock.
Do we need use it or lose it rules in this country?
I think we need it. We need a combination. The vacancy grants that are there are brilliant to help people buying homes and to give them some money to help them renovate. So we've got great carrots for owners of derelict and vacant homes. We've got great carrots of really high prices for homes. So it's no better time to sell than now. And the rents are really high at the moment as well. So landlords want to renovate homes and rent them, that they'll know they get a really high rent because there's nowhere else to rent at the moment. The challenge we've got in Ireland is we've got some sticks, but they're not effective. So we've got the vacant homes tax, but it was designed to fail. So it's only been, a vacant homes tax is only applying to about 1.3% of the homes, the vacant homes identified by Geo Directory or ESB, which is, you know, a tiny percent of them. So it's only just over 2,000. And likewise, we've got the Derelict Sites Act, which puts a 7% tax on the properties. But if you have a look somewhere like Cork, there's 5 million outstanding on that that levy because it's not being collected properly. And so there are changes being made to that derelict. There's been a derelict property tax being brought in, but it's been delayed for years. So they're saying they're going to bring it in, but they're being delayed. What we also need on top, so those taxes are good and effective, but we also need things like compulsory sales orders and compulsory rental orders. Now, the way it works in England is that if you own a derelict home, the council can come in, renovate that property, and make it safe anyway, maybe not make it to a livable standard, but make it safe, and they put it up for auction. And when it gets sold, the council takes the amount of money back that they put into it, and the owner gets the rest. So for owners who aren't applying for the grants, who owners aren't willing to sell, who the tax can afford to pay the tax, maybe especially in areas really high demand for housing, we need to maybe look beyond that into, as you say, use it or lose it, into compulsory sales orders and compulsory rental orders then for habitable homes like they have in other countries in Europe.
Barry and Finnegan, I just want to finish. There's a couple of listeners saying along the lines of this one, you find with the vacant home grants, sellers are putting the cost of the grant on top of the empty or derelict homes.
There's always the law of unintended consequences with these. I do think the vacant homes grant makes great sense, but it's not a silver bullet for the housing market. I mean, all of these initiatives help in a little way to alleviate the problem. But I think if we focus on those, we'll miss the fact that the only real solution for addressing this housing market is building more homes everywhere. And I think we should focus our attention on building homes in all of Ireland rather than just in the urban centres. That would be the biggest factor to move this market along and actually secure accommodation for more people.
Thank you very much, Marion Finnegan, Chief Executive of Sherry Fitzgerald, Jude Sherry, Founder and Director of Anish.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.